right, we're going to go ahead and continue with tonight's media availabilities. We have now been joined by today's Straight Talk Wireless 400 winner, Tyler Reddick, driver of the number 452311 racing Toyota. Tyler, congratulations on making the championship four. Can you kind of walk us through those last few laps and your emotions?
I can't walk you through the last few laps, but my emotions were all over the place. When we went long, I didn't know how that was going to play out. I really thought that I was worried that caution wasn't going to come, and then we pit, we lose the lap, and I'm like, oh, damn. We get back the lead lap, and I'm just not expecting it, right? And Nick Payne, my spotter, says caution. It's like, oh boy, great. Now we're at the back, whatever else. And Billy was like, yeah, we're going to stay out. And I'm like, oh shit, we're going to stay out. All right, we're going to figure this out. And so, yeah, turn one went about as good as I thought it could have went. I saw Danny get to my outside, and that wasn't great, but we settled in there, and I didn't know how bad we were going to bleed. And I drove into turn three kind of, I don't know, out of desperation or something, and I kind of held serve. I was very shocked by that. And then as the laps just kept winding down, it didn't truly feel like we were at a big tire deficit. You know, you come to this place and you know that tires are a premium. Early in the race, we saw the eight, a number of other cars on like three, four lap tires, you know, stay out and get their doors blown off. So I was just completely shocked that we were able to stay in the mix like we were. And yeah, going into one, I made the right guess. I got the bottom, I got clean air, I got up in front of the 11 and had a good run on the 12. I was just blown away that I had that kind of momentum going into turn three. And you know, I thought there was no way the 12 was going to leave. There's no way that Blaney was going to leave me the route outside, but he must have thought that I was just going to absolutely dive bomb it off in there to try and get around him. And once I saw him kind of shade down, I hit the gas and forgot about everything else. And it came out on the other side in the lead. It was just crazy.
We're going to go ahead and open it up to questions. If you have a question, please raise your hand and we will work on getting a wireless mic to you. We'll go to Bob first.
Bob Hockers, Fox Sports. We talked a little bit about it yesterday, but how do you put out of your head what happened last week when you're trying to make a move to then go and make daring moves that you had to do at the end of the race today?
You can't think about it at all. You know, I'm thankful that the cars are as safe as they are when it comes to rolling them over. You know, they made a big improvements with that from Gen 6 to Gen 7. You know, certainly I didn't think the crash was as big as it was, but it was an interesting process understanding that. But again, I was just glad the car, for the most part, you know, it stayed in the seat. Nothing collapsed. Nothing crazy happened. But I don't know. To your point, Bob, just we're kind of crazy to some degree. My first lap in the car after flipping it, I drive off into turn three and four in practice right on the wall like nothing had ever happened. That's just how you have to be. If you want to compete on this level, you've got to be able to remember the important things, remember the lessons, but you know, there's certain things you just got to completely block out and forget and go into the next day, the next week, completely ready to go like nothing ever happened.
We'll go to Davey.
Davey Seeger with SiriusXM NASCAR Radio. What is it about this place that just suits you? It doesn't matter if it's Cup, Xfinity, Next Gen, Gen 6. I mean, what is it about this place?
I have no idea. I like Florida. Maybe that's some of it. The weather's always nice. Yeah, this place is the only mile and a half that we have that is shaped the way that it is. And with the nature of the surface, the banking, just how well the wall is shaped, it really allows you to just get up there and rip it and make a lot of speed. And today was a day where you could really run the wall in 3 and 4, but other in 1 and 2, you had to move around quite a bit. And so that took some adjusting, but our car was really, really tuned for it. I mean, our Beast Camry could just kind of run wherever we wanted it to in 1 and 2. That was nice. And it really was a big part of why we were able to win this race today. We could, on older tires, we hooked the white line and got up in line, and just versatility is important here. But I don't know, this place has just been really, really fun from the first time I ever ran it as a rookie in the truck series. I don't know what it is. Just me as a dirt racer, I love stepping over the edge, and this place seems to reward that to some degree. You have to take care of your tires, but being able to rip the fence when all else fails, man, it's just there's nowhere else like this place where you can do that and make that kind of speed, and just a lot of fun to run lap after lap.
Did your mindset change at all watching Truck and Xfinity yesterday and seeing how important and how advantageous it was to wrap the bottom on the white line for Austin and Xfinity specifically? I mean, to your point, having a versatile car is important, but we hear so much about ripping the fence and running the top and the momentum you get up there. Did your mindset going into today change at all based on what you experienced in practice yesterday and what you saw in the other two?
Yeah, I mean, you always have to be ready to adapt. And so for us, we had an approach. We kind of stuck to it on practice day. Watching the Xfinity race play out like it did was a bit interesting, but certainly it's funny. You would think as a track ages, you know, you'll want to run the higher lanes more and more, but something about this place where maybe just the amount of laps that have been ran around the top, the bottom can be more beneficial at times. So just when you think you have a track like this figured out, it just always seems to present something new that kind of catches you off guard, and you have to adapt. And so that was just the name of the game for us all day long. We kind of just kept having to adjust to what our car would give us. And ultimately at the end, you know, we kind of went on a limb with our strategy, but cannot believe it, but it paid off. It was an incredible thing. I cannot believe we won the race on older tires at a place like Homestead. It's just shouldn't happen, but we did it. But that's the kind of team that we have. We've been put in some very tough situations. We found ways to overcome it, and we did that again today.
We're going to go to Jordan, Jared, and then in the middle here, Reed, and then Reed after.
Jordan Bianchi, The Athletic. You kind of answered my question a little bit, but how does it, on this track where tires are everything, how does a driver with two laps older tires not just pass the two cars in front of them, but you ripped off this incredible lap?
Yeah, I heard about that after the fact, that it was a really fast lap. I truly don't know. When you think about it, I had clean air for the whole lap. You know, I went down to the bottom. The 12 was kind of more worried about the 11, as he should have been. And the 3 and 4, I got the top uncontested. So, yeah, I guess I had clean air. It should have been a pretty quick lap. But I don't know. You sometimes you have to take guesses going into the corner where you think the lane for you is going to be. And I just got it right. It's crazy to do it the way we did, but we did it.
Your dad say anything to you in victory lane? Your dad say anything to you in victory lane?
Oh, gosh. I mean, he's just really proud of me. We were both just in disbelief by what just happened, honestly. Yeah, at a place like this, that shouldn't work, but we made it work. It's just incredible. He was proud. Everyone's really, really excited and ecstatic about what just took place. I just, again, still in disbelief, honestly.
We're going to go to Jared.
Jared Haas with FrenchStretch.com. Reddick, you had issues with traction and pit stops were not up to speed. Do you feel confident that going into Phoenix that the pit crew stuff will be cleaned up because of how tight the competition is with pit crews?
Yeah, we got extra time to just think about Phoenix now. That's going to be good for us. So I have faith in my team. You know, they know how to execute a fast stop, and for them, they can just solely focus on Phoenix for the next week and a half, if you will, before we get there.
Undefeated so far in this playoff structure, you went 2 for 2. Do you feel the reign of Reddick coming back to 28 when you won your championships back in 2018 and 2019, or is this a completely different Tyler Reddick?
Yeah, that Tyler wasn't very good at Phoenix, but I feel like since I came over 2311 and working with you know, becoming a driver in a Toyota Camry, I've certainly gotten a bit better at Phoenix. So look back to the spring and we were really, really solid. Obviously, Christopher found something in that race that set him apart from the rest of the field, but it's something that we've been thinking about since that first race. How can we go back there and compete with Christopher? And so it's been on our mind. We've been thinking about it. We've had a lot of season between now and then, but the work that we put in after Phoenix should certainly help us as we prepare for this race coming up.
We're going to come up to the front to Reed, and then we're going to come on the middle and then to Daniel.
Reed Spencer with the NASCAR Wire. Blaney said afterwards that he thought he drove it pretty hard into three, and his plan was to slide up, but by that time you were already outside him. Were you confident at that point from what you felt after the restart that the car was going to stick?
I had no idea, but I was willing to take the risk and find out. So that's just the corner I was in. I knew that for us to make it to Phoenix, that a win here today was going to really help our odds. So, yeah, I don't know. I drove it in until I got next to him and then hoped that it stuck, and it did. It was pretty incredible.
We're going to go to Tim in the middle.
Hi, Tyler. Tim Reynolds with the Associated Press. Those of us that have followed Michael forever and ever and ever know there's only one thing that makes him that happy, and that's winning. Can you just take us through what that moment is like and what it's... I know there's a lot that means you, the win and Phoenix and all that, of course, are very good things, but when you can make the boss that happy, that's pretty rare.
Yeah,
what was that moment like?
It's special, man. You know, he's dedicated a lot of his time, his efforts, his money into elevating 2311 to where it is right now. And, you know, he's fully committed to this team, to our organization, and, to be able to reward him with the days like we had today is a true honor. So it was really cool to see how happy he was. We're all very happy about it. And, you know, he believed in me. He believes in this team, the people that him, Denny, and everybody else is put together to create what 2311 is. You know, he's put a lot towards it, and it's really cool in these critical moments to be able to deliver for him and for everybody else that's a part of the team.
We'll go to Daniel.
Daniel McFadden, FrenchTrips.com. So after MJ was finished giving you a bear hug and lifting you up completely off the ground, what did he say to you?
Oh, man, he was just really proud, the fight that we had, you know, never giving up, just fighting through the adversity, you know, just really, really proud of the effort we put forth. He like I said, he believes in me, he believes in this team, and I know the circumstances weren't ideal, but this is... the kind of things that we have to overcome when we get put in these positions. We've had to do it a few times, and he was really proud of the whole team for the effort that we put forth.
And this is probably a silly question, but do you consider this the biggest, most important win of your racing career so far?
This was pretty big, yeah. To do it that way, at a place like this, when everything was on the line like it was, is pretty incredible. But we gotta enjoy it. We're gonna certainly enjoy it and celebrate it. But Monday morning on, we're gonna be thinking about Phoenix and getting ready for what lies ahead.
Any additional questions for Tyler? We'll come back up to Bob and then Lee.
Bob Hockers, Fox Sports. From what you're saying, you haven't seen the finish. Is that right? You haven't seen a replay?
Like bits and pieces, but not the full thing, no.
So I know you say you're kind of in disbelief. So do you have any like kind of sense of like, I mean, some people calling this one of the best finishes to one of the best races of the playoff era? Like, do you have any sense of that?
Not exactly.
That or like,
no. I'm sure when the time is right, I'll have the opportunity to go back and look at it. But living it just seemed like, just. It wasn't a great restart, but I just could not believe that we were holding on as good as we were. And, you know, my opportunity was the 12 and 11 being worried about each other and try to get in the middle of it and then make something out of it. So, yeah, I was very fortunate that I was left the top at my favorite track in my favorite corner, which is 3 and 4 here. So just took a risk and it paid off. I don't know what else really to say.
We're going to come up to the front with Lee.
Lee Spencer, SiriusXM NASCAR Radio and CatchFence.com. I'm kind of curious, what was going on getting out of the pit box? Because were you not getting a good launch? There were a couple of times that it seemed like you were telling the guys you were struggling getting out. I don't know, I guess Bell had that issue with Las Vegas in the number one pit box, but you didn't have trouble with that. And I wanted to know from a characteristic standpoint, what was going on?
Yeah, you know, we definitely struggled with it at Vegas a week ago too, but we're just trying to, at bare minimum, just take the gain that stall one gives us and live with it, make the most of it. But yeah, it seemed like more times than not, it just was like, man, if we could just get a little more traction out of this first stall, we would we'd be passing cars on pit road instead of maintaining or losing one or two. But yeah, it's just the struggle that you have at some of these tracks. You know, that first pit stall does have an advantage, but when you leave that pit stall, you're on asphalt or a different surface that's slick. And certainly had my struggles with it today and last week.
Any additional questions? Go ahead.
So why is turn 3 and 4 your favorite corner in racing?
I don't know. It just feels like you can drive a lot deeper in there than you should. And it worked. I don't know. I've always felt that way about that corner. Just it feels like you can, when the moment's right, you can do some pretty crazy stuff over there, and thankfully I did, and it paid off.
Finally, Tyler, I have one more for you. How does it feel to make the biggest and most important pass to win the race, and that ended up setting the record for the lead changes at Homestead, and then you ended up punching your ticket to the Champ Four?
I mean, I knew we needed to come in here and win, but I didn't ever foresee it being as crazy as it was today as it ended up playing out. But yeah, we put in a tough spot and we had to rise to the occasion, and we did as a team, and just it takes everybody, and we did a really good job of overcoming the things that went our way that didn't work out, and just being gutsy and willing to put it all on the line like we did.
Awesome. Thank you so much for joining us, and congratulations.
Thank you.